In your Bibles, the Psalm 119, if you are able to. Excuse me. Yeah, no. I know I don't have that. I get tested every Thursday, so yeah. I'm clear there, so going to a nursing home. I'm going to take this jacket off. It's a little warm. And so Tyler won't hold that against me, I don't think. So. No? Good. All right. Psalm 119. Continuing our look on what the Bible says about dress and things. And so far we've discussed how that the Lord first found the topic of dress there in the book of Genesis, right after the fall of man. That was the first thing that God had to deal with. And as they tried to cover themselves with fig leaves, and God used coats of skin to clothe them, the Bible says. Then we looked how that our clothing speaks a language. Our clothing has much to do with our walk with God. We talked about last week what nakedness is according to the Bible. The chest, the trunk, the thighs are all defined as being naked. Again, I've had people ask questions, and that's awesome. Feel free to continue to ask those. You know, some questions were, what if we do some activities that maybe would be, you know, a modesty issue, wear a different type of clothing? And the answer to that is, if you need to do an activity that requires you to dress immodestly, you don't do the activity. Then, you know, you say, well, I want to. Well, you'd be amazed what people were able to do 100 years ago, dress modestly, and it can still be done. But if there is something, like I, you know, not gonna, you know, send my daughters rock climbing, and I'm not being funny. That's not an activity they're gonna do, right? So I want them to rock climb. Well, not if it's a modesty issue. You know, there's other things that are more important, right? And there's plenty of activities to do. I promise to keep you busy. Another question was asked is the knee considered nakedness? And, you know, there's probably some possibility for debate there, but here's the reality. If the knee is not covered, then any movement is going to expose. So therefore, the knee should be covered, because otherwise, as I tried to express last week, if you're right on that line, any time that you move, you're going to show nakedness. And it comes down to whether you want to follow what God said or not to in that area, because, you know, so, you know, that to me makes it an easily definable thing. So you're going to cover the knee because, you know, if you're right on the line, even if I just stretched out to move right here, you would expose nakedness, right? Now, again, everybody may say, well, whatever. And I've heard you talk about, have heard things. I've heard, I think, I always say I heard it all, but then I hear something new. It's like, oh, I haven't heard that. But I want you to see something. Let's establish some principles here. In Psalm 119, look in verse 128. In Psalm 119 and in verse number 128, Psalm 119, 128 says this. It says, therefore, Psalm 119, 128, therefore I esteem all thy precepts concerning what? All things. Does that include our dress?
Yes.
Well, yes, all right. So I esteem all thy precepts. Where do we find the precepts of God? In the Word of God. So I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be what? Right. So it really comes down to this. We have to look at the Word of God, and whatever the Bible says, that's right. And it goes on to say, and I hate every false way, which means that with all of God's precepts in every situation concerning all things, there are false ways out there too. There are ways that are not right, and we should hate those things. We should not want any part of those things. Our standard must be the Word of God. So what that means is this: we have to surrender our preconceived ideas. We have to surrender our own personal preferences. I said this quote last week, and I, again, it wasn't my quote, so I can promote it, all right? But preference is the altar on which the holiness of God has been sacrificed in today's world. We take our preferences and we put them and say, well, that's the way I prefer, how I see it. And what we're doing is we're sacrificing the holiness of God, because all we should be consumed with as Christians is what does God say about it. And so we have, again, we set aside our own preferences, and what does God's word say? Nor can we use the arguments of the world to justify our thoughts. The world has all kinds of arguments. Even, quote-unquote, believers have arguments. And I'm not doubting their salvation, but if we believe the word of God, then we just want to follow the word of God. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter number 1 real quick. 1 Corinthians 1. Again, some maybe have been in the kids club, so let me preface everything we're talking about by saying this. Dress is not the end all. We don't make dress a god. But I will say this, and I'm about to preach it. I believe it is a doctrine taught in the word of God. But again, you know, you say, well, so-and-so don't dress like you. Okay. Someone in the church doesn't dress like you. Okay. Last time I checked, we're all here for the perfecting of the saints, and our job is to continue to teach what's right and preach what the Word of God says. And here's how I trust the Holy Spirit. He'll do His work. He'll do His work. There are things that I don't do now that I did 5 years ago. But God has worked in my life. You know, and God will teach us these things. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse number 20, it says this. It says, where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? What is the Bible saying there? Everybody, the world has their ideas on every topic, including dress. But my counsel and my direction cannot come from the counsel of the world. It has to come from the counsel of the Word. In the same book, in chapter 2 and in verse number 5, the Bible says that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. In other words, I cannot and I dare not decide any area of life, including dress, to be determined by how I justify it in my mind, or what my thoughts are, or how I perceive this, or how I may see it for myself. I have to strictly look at the Word of God, because all the wisdom of the world is thrown out. I just have to look at the Word of God. And again, as I said last week, any defense for your position, everybody has a standard. Everybody has a standard of dress. I said that last week. Everybody in this room has a standard of dress. I have a standard of dress. You have a standard for dress. You say, everybody in the world has a standard of dress. If you don't believe me, then walk into a grocery store without clothes on. They have a standard. I mean, everybody has a standard. We all have standards in our life, and so any defense for the standard that you take, ready? You need to have Bible for it. That's all that matters. The defense of your position should point to the Word of God. Many will say, well, it's just not a big deal. Well, it is a big deal. Again, I just stated I believe that dress is a doctrine taught in the Word of God, because the word doctrine means instruction and confirmation as found in God's Word. Did you know in the Bible there are 806 references to clothing? That's a lot. To give you an idea, that's more than twice the amount of the mentions of heaven and hell combined. The Bible talks a lot about it. And you don't have to turn there, but in Titus chapter number 2, verses 1 through 10, the aged men and the ladies are to know and to teach sound doctrine. And that sound doctrine includes this area of what the Bible says about dress, all the mentions, and God specifically says how to dress. We're going to look at that tonight. Now, anytime that there's a doctrine taught in the Word of God, Satan wants to attack that doctrine. Right. Anytime there is clear teaching in the Word of God, human reasoning wants to attack that doctrine. Anytime there is a clear doctrine taught in the Word of God, tradition tries to attack that doctrine. I don't care what it is, pick any teaching of the Bible that you want to pick, and you're going to find Satan, you're going to find reasoning, and you're going to find tradition attacking those stands. The same thing when it comes to dress. The devil's tactic is easy. You find it there in the book of Genesis, chapter number 3, verse number 1. The very first words that he says is, "Yea, hath God said." He wants to bring doubt on things and doubt on the word of God. And that's what the devil strives to do, included in this area of dress. He wants to do his best to get us to try to doubt. Is that what God means? Is that what God really said? I mean, I don't care what topic you want to, you know, go at, you know, when it comes to dress, you know, be it nakedness and the definition of it. I showed you from the Bible last week that God defined nakedness, all right? That they had to put coats on, that the chest, that the trunk of the body was nakedness to God. Peter had to throw on his coat because the Bible says he was naked, all right? He had pants on, but he didn't have a shirt on. And that was nakedness according to the Holy Spirit of God. Adam and Eve had to be dressed in coats of skin because their fig leaves covering their loins was not covering their nakedness. The priest had to put on breeches, as it says, that would go from the loins to the thighs to cover their nakedness. So God defined nakedness to us. But the devil's attack is that really what he meant? Because anyone and everyone that knows the word of God, that chooses not to follow these things, says, well, I don't think that's what God meant. Well, that's what God said. And so we can't decide, but that's what the devil wants to do, try to get you to doubt what God has said. Reason and tradition. I would basically ask you, wherever your standard is, what is the basis of your standard when it comes to clothing? Because it falls under one of these following categories. Number one, it's popular. Number two, it's fashionable. And don't get me wrong, I don't think Christians should dress like dorks. I'm being serious. But again, when I say fashionable, whatever the ongoing trend is, all right, I shouldn't be more consumed about the trend than I am what God's word says. But fashionable, what's popular, peer pressure, and it doesn't just affect our young people, right? Well, that's what everybody's wearing. Well, the Bible talks about this broad way that many people go on, and that doesn't end well, all right? So peer pressure, comfort, that cannot be the reason why you wear what you wear. It's just more comfortable. Well, what does God's word say? Convenience, or biblical principle. Your dress should fall under biblical principle. If it goes under one of the other categories, I'm not saying what you're wearing. I walked into Chick-fil-A the other day, had a pair of jeans on and my CBA polo shirt. And I walked in there and Carrie and Sherry walked up and said, "I have never seen you dress like this." I was like what? "You have jeans on." I do, yeah. Yeah, I was just like, yeah. Why was I wearing jeans on a Saturday? It's comfortable.
Right.
And it doesn't contradict any biblical scriptures.
Right.
So I'm not saying just because it's comfortable, well, it's out. It's comfortable, it's out. That's not what I mean. But if you're choosing apart from biblical principles because of comfort, you might want to take care there. The Pharisees, they made of no effect the word of God because of their traditions. The Lord said so in Mark chapter 7. I'll read this to you real quick. Mark chapter 7, verses 7 through 9. Or if you're quicker than me getting to scriptures. But Mark chapter 7, verses 7 and 9 says this. "Howbeit in vain do they worship me." Now listen to what it says. Jesus said, "Teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. For laying aside the commandments of God, ye hold the tradition of men, as the washing of pots and cups, and many other such things as ye do." And he said unto them, "Full well, ye reject the commandment of God, that ye may keep your own tradition." So the Lord rebuked the Pharisees here because they had made their traditions of a higher level than the commandments of God.
Right.
Now, we cannot let tradition dictate what is right. Ready? Be it in a bad way or on the other end. There's a ditch on both sides. I mean, there is a ditch on both sides. You know, when I first went to college, it was preached that it was a sin to have a pleat in your pants. Yeah, right? A bunch of you are wicked tonight, right? Yeah, right? And not me, though. Hey, I'm still good. All right, yeah. There was no doctrine for that. There's no scripture for that. That was a tradition of men. I love Brother, I think he did some wonderful, if I can do a third of my life, what Brother Don Green has done up in Michigan, all right, praise the Lord for the souls he's won. But I've heard him preach, wire-rimmed glasses are wicked. I've heard him preach it, all right? So, see, I don't wear them. See, I'm checking out tonight. I'm doing good, all right? No, I did for years, all right? But, you know, that was a tradition of men. Now, I love, praise the Lord for him, all right? But you see what I'm saying? Just because it's been preached, did you catch? I mean what I'm saying. Just because it's been preached doesn't mean it's truth.
Right.
What does the Bible say?
Right.
So we have to look at what the Word of God says. I'm thankful for these men and conservative. Go for it, all right? And I get what they're saying because I still don't get the glasses thing. But in any case, all right, the pleats were a result of MC Hammer, right? He had all these 500 pleats in his pants, and you just couldn't touch it, right? But anyways, never mind. All right, yeah, all right. But in any case, all right, we can't use human reasoning because human reasoning can't affect our thinking on this either. You know, if I'm going out to work in a garden, it would be immodest to wear a skirt. I've heard that. Not if your skirt's long enough. It's not. You say, well, that just don't make sense to me. Well, salvation by grace, not of works, doesn't make sense to a lot of people either. But human reasoning has to be thrown out. And we have to go with what the Word of God says. We have to understand that in these last days in which we live, the Bible says that there will be a great falling away, that there will be a departure from the truth. And we are living in that day today. But as truth is rejected, the erosion of values will begin to become more speedily. As truth is rejected, values are going to deteriorate very quickly. Trends and fashions throughout the history of man in the last few hundred years has been met with shock. Now, I don't know that any of us in this room is old enough to, you know, live through what I'm about to say, but, you know, a two-piece swimsuit was just wicked to the world when it was introduced.
Yeah.
To a lost world. And then it became tolerated, and then it became accepted, and today defended. Not just in a lost world. I have heard believers say, well, this is a modest two-piece swimwear. There is no such thing as a modest two-piece swimwear.
That's right.
But I've heard it defended. What happened? We accepted, we tolerated, and eventually ends to defending. The same things happen with a lot of other areas too. Sodomy, the same process happened. I can remember this. I remember, I think it was Rock Hudson, wasn't it? I was just a kid, but I remember when he came out. And I was just a kid, but I remember my grandma and my grandpa sitting there saying, oh. And they covered my ears and wouldn't let me listen to it. And they're like, oh, it was wicked. Then it became tolerated. And I'm talking in the world. Then it became tolerated. Then it became accepted. And as I stand here, there are churches and pastors that defend it today.
Right.
We cannot allow tradition or human reasoning to direct our thoughts on things. Now, society has attacked modesty. It continues to attack modesty. And we as believers, if we're not careful, we will tolerate, accept, and then defend the world's view on modesty. If we have a biblical view, then we're going to learn what the Bible says. And we will allow what the Bible says to conform our mind to thinking what God's Word says. That's what every one of us tonight, that has to be our goal. Not to try to reason, not to try to fashion ourselves according to traditions or what our peers or what the world or any other thing. We have to say, all right, what does God's Word say? And then allow God's Word to dictate what we think about something. That's the only way that we can live godly in all areas of life. By the renewing of your mind, the transforming of your mind, we have to start thinking, what does God say about this? So let's begin this process. I know we've talked about a lot of things, and I promise, we won't go on forever on this, but it's impossible to cover this area in a sermon and a half, all right? And again, God, in the Bible, it's mentioned 806 times. So if God talked about it a little bit more, it gives us a little bit liberty to talk about a little bit more too. So let's look at what it says, all right? We have to transform our mind according to what the Bible says. What is biblical dress? Biblical dress, and again, we've talked about the men. And not that I won't talk about men later. We've talked about Peter. We talked about nakedness. We talked about how they would wear the robes and they would have the breeches underneath. And we've looked at man's dress. And I'm not being in any way pro one gender over another. I'm just telling you, the Bible talks about ladies' dress on a ratio of 8 to 1 to men, because it's more typical of a ladies' issue. It's just what it is. And I don't mean men have their own issues. Amen, men? All right? And it's not that one is better than the other, right? It's just this is an issue that's more of an issue with ladies than it is for men. Pretty simple. Men, we put on a shirt, put on a pair of pants. Ta-da, you're modest. Go shopping today, it's pretty easy to buy modest men's clothes. To buy modest ladies' clothes, good luck. Good luck. It's difficult. And there's a lot of attack on that. But when it comes to biblical dress, there must be modesty. Now listen to it. Modesty in our clothing, modesty in hair, modesty in makeup, modesty in jewelry. And if just at the mention of one of those areas filled you with an emotional surge, there's probably something not right. At just the mention of one of those different topics of modesty, something inside of you says, oh, whoa, whoa, then there's probably something not right. Amen? So let's look at what the Bible says. Again, these dress principles are something we'll just start to get into it right here. But number one, turn over to 1 Timothy chapter number 2. 1 Timothy chapter number 2. And I hope I laid the foundation that we need God. That is the standard. That is the principle. In 1 Timothy chapter number 2, look in verse number 9. And we're going to walk through this passage real quick tonight in the last few minutes. In 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 9, now, I will say first of all, verse number 8, I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath or doubting. Can I tell you what men, right? Clothing is not typically a man's first besetting sin. But I will tell you that anger is. And I will tell you that wrath is. And doubting God's word is. And that prayer is. And that holiness is. So God exposed man's besetting sins here pretty good. Verse number 9, in like manner. So now we're going to look at some things that a lady will struggle with. That women adorn themselves in modest apparel. So to those who may say, dress is just not a big deal. Well, then why did the Holy Spirit of God say that you need to dress in modest apparel? That's very specific. Modest apparel. That's not just talking about a heart issue. That's what you're putting on. So God says this is really important. With shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broided hair. By the way, if your Bible says braided hair, you have an English translation, unfortunately, that may say King James Version, that's not correct. It's usually a Thomas Nelson or a Holman, and just mark that out and write Broided. I'm not saying get a new Bible, but it's one of those sneaky things. The devil's changed a few words in your Bible. I'm not going to have you raise hands, but just telling you, if it says braided, there's nothing wrong with braided hair. But broided is wrong. So I just blew some of your lives up, right? All right. But anyways, all right. Broided hair or gold or pearls or costly array, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works. So let's talk about this. Number one, I'll just give you a few points tonight. Number one, modesty is important to God. And I know I've already said it, but write it down. Modesty is important to God. We see it here. It is taught in the Bible that women adorn themselves in modest apparel. So modest apparel is taught in the Word of God. And if it's important to God, it should be important to us. So God, He teaches it in the Word of God. So again, if there is, again, as it says there, women adorn themselves in modest apparel. So in verse number 10, that which becometh women professing godliness. In other words, there is a certain type of dress that is fit, that is right, that is suitable for a godly lady. And that's what it says. So there is a proper clothing for a lady professing godliness that is fit, that is right, and that is suitable. To say, well, it's this preacher, this is not that important, goes contrary to what we just read. Because God says there is. Amen? There is a modest apparel. Number one, modesty is important to God. Number two, what is modest? So now let's define what is modest. Now, in the book of 1 Timothy, Paul is writing in this epistle to try to help Timothy in pastoring there at Ephesus and teaching his people how to live a right life with God. And you can find it. I mean, I'm not going to read all these things. I'm not going to give you a thorough expository outline of the book of 1 Timothy. But in chapter 1, verse 4 and 5, he tells us not to give heed to fables and endless genealogies. In chapter 1, verse 18 and 19, we are to, again, this charge I commit to thee, according to the prophecies which went before thee, that thou mightest war a good warfare, holding faith and a good conscience. Then he tells us in chapter 2, verse 1 through 3, that we need to be in prayer, a praying people, pray for our leadership, pray for all those, what's good, acceptable. Then you get down into verse number 8, and he's talking about how the men ought to be careful about keeping some things out of your life. And in verse number 9, how ladies ought to dress. And it will go on and give more instruction. But the book of 1 Timothy is to help Timothy as him being a young pastor, and also what to teach to his people and how to live right. That's the whole point of the book. And apparel is right here in the middle of it. Now, in other words, God takes this as being important. So what does it say about modesty? Look at verse number 9. Number one, her dress should be modest. And it says, in like manner also, that women adorn themselves in modest apparel. The two words there, adorn and modest, are pretty much the same word. Adorn is cosmeo, and modest is cosmios, which, by the way, is where the word cosmetics will eventually come from. But adorn and modest, it simply means this: to be well arranged, seemly, embellish, to make ready, to decorate. That's what it means. And so women are to adorn themselves in modest apparel. In other words, women are to look, to make themselves look, all right, to put these things on, to decorate, well arranged, seemly, embellish, whatever the word, and you'll get the whole concept as we keep going through the scripture, but they are to dress like a godly lady. They are to make themselves look like a godly lady. Now, obviously, it should start from the heart. That's where we had lesson number one, if you remember, right? And again, If someone, you know, comes to church and they're not dressed right, you say, well, look at them. Evil. No. No, 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 no. You Pharisee and you judgmental person, all right? Let God work on a heart. You love them and welcome them, all right? And let the Lord work, all right? But the Holy Spirit does a much better job than any of us do. But the fact is this, that if your heart's right, you should want to express itself by putting on what is godly, what is suitable for a godly person. The word apparel there is the word katastole. It's meant the same thing every time it's ever used. It means a letting down, a loose flowing garment. That's what it means. A letting down in a loose flowing garment. So women are to, again, in this verse, adorn themselves in modest, in other words, what is suitable, what is should be, apparel, all right, that is a long flowing garment. See, what does that mean, a long flowing garment? I do not have on a long flowing garment. I have the opposite. Man wear breeches, which is the loins are girded up. Being weird in this statement, man's clothing will have a crotch in it. We're all mature, right? Amen. Right? It's brought up. A woman's clothing is to be long and flowing. Amen. That's what the word is. That's what is appropriate for a godly lady. That is what is suitable. That is what is arranged, that is seemly, that embellishes a godly lady. Again, that's why we've gone away from like culottes and stuff like that in our school and things, because it goes against a long flowing garment. And only a man in the Bible ever girded up his loins. Only a man. And so we have gone that direction without apology. We believe that's right to do. It is a long flowing garment. Flowing means this, it's not tight. Alright? Flowing. Alright? Like the flag out there in the breeze, alright? It's got give. Okay? A woman's garment shouldn't be tight. It should be long and flowing. It shouldn't reveal the contours of the body. It just shouldn't do it. It should be long and flowing. Now, I don't have to go into big details about this. And again, I've heard some preachers say, and I hate that they say this, so I'm going to pop that balloon real quick, all right? They'll say, you women need to wear long and flowing, not tight, because you're causing men to lust. Men are wicked. And that's not the reason. That's not the reason why you should wear long flowing. The reason you should wear long flowing is because God said so. It has nothing to do with men. Now, God knew what he's saying because he knows the effect it can have. But that's not the reason. You do it because God said so. Because that's what's in the Word of God. And so we wear the long flowing garment, ladies. It is something to be worn because God says that is what's suitable. That is what adorning yourself in modest apparel is. Her dress also, in the same verse, should be dressed with shamefacedness. Everybody see it in verse number 9? It says that women adorn themselves in modest apparel with shamefacedness. What is that? Shamefacedness is humility. It is a bashfulness, if you will. And again, I'm not saying women, you know, need to be hidden in the corner. That's not what the verse is saying. I give you what the opposite of this word is, because sometimes it's easier to define by giving the opposite. The opposite of this word is flirty, assertive, sassy. That's the opposite of shamefacedness. When you dress for the purpose of drawing attention to yourself or to making yourself assertive and saying, I will be, and I'm not, we'll talk about this probably next week, all right? I'm not, we'll get into pants and stuff next week, all right? So some of you can rest. It's going to be okay tonight, right? But, you know, I'm not gonna go there. But I will say this. A man, Deuteronomy 22:5 is always mentioned in its truth, right? It says a woman should not wear that which pertaineth to a man. Now, the first part of that verse says what? We always skip the first part. A man should not put on what? A woman's garment. You notice the difference there? Let's stop and think about that. Y'all thinking with me? A man's not to put on a woman's garment. A woman is not to put on what pertains to a man. Now, God could have said a man's garment. But that would have gave the excuse, well, these are women's jeans. These are women's, right? But God, isn't he so wise? He knows our hearts and our reasoning. And God said, men, don't put on what belongs to a woman. Because if any weirdo out there wants to dress like a woman, he puts on a dress. He puts on a skirt. But God said, and you women don't wear what pertains to a man. Big difference. Big difference. But in any case, we'll go on. All right, but and again, pants are a sign of authority. We'll talk about that next week. All right, but the fact is this, that's being assertive or being sassy. In other words, you dress a certain way to draw attention to yourself, and you have this mentality, I will dress how I please. And if that's the hard attitude, it's wrong. And shamefacedness, that applies, again, that's the whole kit and caboodle. It's talking about the dress that you're wearing. It's talking about the jewelry that you're wearing. It's talking about the hair and the style and the color that you have. If any of it is assertive, if any of it is sassy, if any of it is that I'm doing it because I want to do it, and you're not consumed with being godly, change it. Because the goal should be, is I want to live and wear and live and appear what is suitable for a godly lady. That is adorning ourselves in modest apparel. Shamefacedness. That is a humility to God. Thirdly, her dress should be done with sobriety. It says there, modest apparel and shamefacedness and sobriety. Sobriety means self-control, soundness. Again, moderation. In other words, you're not caught up with the fashions of this world or the trends of this world. You're not trying to dress or appear in a shallow, worldly way. In other words, it comes from your heart. That you're dressing this way because you just want God to be honored. Modesty is more than just the length of a skirt. It is the mindset and the heart of the person. It means it comes from the heart. That you're dressing the way you are, and you're wearing what you're wearing, and you're wearing the jewelry you're wearing. I mean, today's world's crazy. Some people look like they rolled around in my tackle box and then they stood up. So many piercings and things hanging off of them. That's worldly. Tattoos, Christians, stay away from them. They all portray a statement. The way that we present ourselves, even to our hair, again, the people that will shave one side of their hair and then have one half over here that's bright pink, you're making a statement. They're saying, I'm worldly. I'm carnal. And we should want to stay far from that. But we dress with sobriety. We want our life to please God. Fourthly, the dress is to not be excessive. It says there, sobriety, not with broided hair or gold or pearls or costly array. Now, what is broided hair on this gold and silver and costly array? B-R-O-I-D-E-D, broided. What that was is they would take their hair and they would literally weave it in between gold and silver and costly array. They would take very expensive jewelry and they'd put it all in their hair, right? And they'd make it in a fashion to where when they walked in the room, everyone went, whoa. Whoa. They got money. Oh, wow. they must be a powerful person. And the idea here is that they were presenting themselves as being something special, over attention. Really, it's pride. They wanted people to look and be in awe of them. Extravagant. Showy might be another word. But they did it to make the appearance of saying, hey, look at me. Nothing we should do, men or ladies, should be done so we say, hey, look at me. Our life should be about, hey, God is good. And everything about our dress and our, and again, the same thing with simple jewelry, all right? I'm wearing a ring. I'm not even opposed to wearing another ring. But I'm probably not going to have 7 rings on, and a bracelet, and a chain, which are called necklace. No man should wear a necklace. That's what the word is. Look it up, all right? All right? Nor man do I think ought to be wearing bracelets around either. I just, personal. I don't know. Do I have scripture for that? I don't know. But to me, it just looks bad. All right, but so I'll give you. Idea though, you've seen them, right? Man, you're like Mr. T walking in. You know, 20,000 chains on, all these bracelets and everything on, right? And, what are they doing? Look at me. Right. That should not be in our dress. It should be one done, again, not in excess. That's what that teaching is teaching there, with not with broidered hair or gold or pearls or costly array. It should be, our dress should not draw attention to our clothes, to our hair, to our jewelry. But our dress and our appearance should draw attention to our character. To our character. The Bible teaches in 1 Peter chapter number 3. Let me look at it real quick. 1 Peter chapter number 3. It says, likewise, you wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they may also be won by the word, the conversation of the wives, while they behold your chaste conversation copied with fear, whose adorning, so here we go again, talking about a lady's adornment, whose adorning, let it not be the outward adorning of plaiting the hair, that's the same thing, weaving in these gold, silver plates, and of wearing of gold, all right, and you say, well, see, you shouldn't be wearing gold. The whole point here is excess. It's excess. If you say, no, it says gold, well then, nor should you put on clothes. Because the next statement says, or of putting on of apparel. Yeah. I'm pretty sure God wants us to put on clothes. All right? So what is the point of this passage? Not in excess. Not in drawing attention. But let it be the hidden man of the heart, and that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and a quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God, is of great price. That you can go on and read that, but the fact is this, the woman who is, now listen to me, the woman who is walking in the spirit will not focus on the external and making her hair, clothes, makeup, etc. That won't be the focus. The focus will be godliness. You'll notice in that verse, I already shut my Bible, verse number 4. But, what's it say there, next few words, verse number 4? But what? Let it be. Now that's an important statement right there. Because what the Word of God is saying is this, all right? Let it, don't dress this way, but let it be. In other words, this has to be a choice you make, because our carnal flesh will want to do those things. Our carnal flesh will want to show off ourselves. Our carnal flesh will want people to look at us. But we have to let it be. We have to not let the carnal flesh be in control, but instead let the Holy Spirit of God be in control. But it's talking about excessiveness. And that's pretty clear to me. God wants you to comb your hair. And I mean that. God wants you to comb your hair. God wants you to, you know, again, the whole broided and plating and all this stuff. It's not saying don't do nothing with your hair. No. You don't want to see me doing nothing with, although I've worn the same haircut for so long, I pretty much wake up in the morning and be like, I'm good. My hair is tamed, all right? Brother Habel's hair is tamed. Amen, brother? Oh, yeah, all right? You know, but it don't work that way with my wife. My wife, every morning, I hear, you know, like she's in a battle picking hair. Oh, tingle. Oh, you know, she's trying to get all this, you know. And, you know, and then there's all the instruments that plug in and all the stuff that, aren't you glad you're a man? All right? You know, and they go through all those things, all right? And that's great. There's nothing wrong with that. All right? They should, because if they didn't take care of themselves, that would be a terrible testimony for Christ.
Right.
The hair's all, right? Tangled, knotted. And they walk in, right? And be like, hey, let me tell you about Jesus. No thanks. Right? If that's what he did to you, right? You know, just being real, God expects you. It's the excessiveness. It's the what you're putting on. And that excessiveness, to me, applies for the hair, it applies for the character, it tries for the dress, it tries for the jewelry, it tries for the makeup, all of those things, because it's all part of the adorning, and I don't think there's an issue. And we can talk about some of these areas more in detail in the next few weeks, but again, it is moderate. It is what is suitable. That is what the word is saying. And then fifthly, and I'm done, her dress should exemplify a lady that seeks to adorn herself with good works. Back in our text in verse number 10, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works. There should be a compliance between how you appear and the fact that you want to be obedient to God. And that we dress in a way that we just want to obey and serve our Lord at all times. Now again, you say, well, I don't know if I'm here yet. Okay. I'm not mad at you. We're not taking a test Sunday, right? But I am challenging you to study the Bible. And I am challenging you to wherever you take your stand to be able to say, here is why. I've told you many times before, and I hate it. You know, there's been multiple, unfortunately, with different areas in church, and one of the last ones was that of dating. And they came and said, preacher, we're going to leave the church. We don't agree with what you preach about courting. I said, well, I hate that. I said, what do you believe? And they shared what they believe. And I said, can you show me that in the Bible? And here's a statement, and I'll never forget it. It's one of those things, it hurt, but at the same time, I wanted to laugh because it was so ridiculous. They said, oh, you know more about the Bible than we do. But that's not what we believe is right. I'm not lifting myself up in any ways. I'm learning every day. But that's a foolish statement to look at someone who studied an area out in the Word of God and say, well, we know you have studied this more and have been in the Word of God more on this subject, but we don't want to. And again, dress is a really simple matter. If you look at the Word of God, it all comes down to this. You either want to obey God or you don't. Or there's a maturing process going on. And I'm great with that. I'm great with that. My wife has not always held the standards that she holds today. There was a maturing process in her life. Can I blow the world? She wore pants. Oh! She wore shorts. Oh! She did. Then I met her and I corrected that, right? Not at all, all right? God changed that in her life when she was a teenager because she saw it in the Word of God. Way before I ever met her. I don't get upset. I'm just thankful they're here.
Amen.
And I'll trust the Holy Spirit to teach us. And all I ask of everyone is a study. And make sure wherever you stand, here's why I stand here. Then you're good. You're good. Let's pray. Father, Lord, I thank you.